You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Contextually, or according to our verse, Jesus is teaching his disciples. And of course, biblically, whenever we are taught something, we should learn something. Life is full of lessons, young people. And we sure enough or show enough need to learn lessons that are taught from our Lord. Because that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner. They hear teaching. They get the knowledge and the understanding from the lesson, and then they apply it to their life. Are you with me? Now, he's teaching them some things that they need to understand before he sends them out into the world to do ministry. He's preparing them. So he's sitting down and he's teaching them a number of qualities that they need to have. He wants to make sure they're all on the same page. And see, when we do ministry, we need to be on the same page. Jesus said that a house that is divided against itself will come to desolation, and it will not stand. They won't be happy, won't have any power, won't be productive. So he's trying to get them all on the same page. And how many would agree we need to be on the same page? Now, again, he's preparing them for ministry before he sends them out. And because the text is for our learning, we also need to be prepared for ministry as young men and young women. But we also need to be prepared for life. As a young man or as a young woman, before you leave the comforts of your parents' home, some of you at a later time and some of you sooner, you got to be prepared, young people. You cannot afford to have the mindset that I'm just ready to leave the house and you're not prepared to leave the house. We want to equip you so when you leave the house, whether it be to go to school, the military, to work, or to just get out the house and be on your own, you need to be prepared. Are you with me? And that's why youth and young adult ministry is so essential and valuable. Because when it's working right and you apply what's being taught, you will be prepared. So don't be in no hurry to get grown. Just hurry up and learn how to be. Help me. Prepared for life. Are you with me? And so when you read verse 1 all the way down to verse 16, Jesus teaches a number of qualities that the disciples need to have. I'm going to summate them so we don't have to read 15 verses. Number one, He told them, look, before I send you out in the world, when you consider verse 1, y'all need to have some power. Before you go out into the world, disciples, I need to give you, or you need to make sure you have some power. And power was not only a necessity for the disciples of Jesus in the scripture. Young folk in our day and time need some power. You need some power when you go up to school down the street. You need some power when you get your first part-time job. Shoot, you need some power if you're just going outside to play with your friends. Because the enemy is constantly throwing darts, constantly trying to change the mindset of God's young folk. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you some power so you can be a witness. I'm going to give you some power so you can go in dark places and still shine your light. I'm going to give you some power so you can go around folk that's cussing, but you don't cuss. I'm going to give you some power so you can go around some freaks, but you don't have to be no freak. Look at somebody and say, Jesus will give you some power. Yes, he will. And all you got to do if you lack in power or don't have power is ask. He said, everyone that asks, they will receive. And see, when God gives us power in the Holy Spirit, you're going to know that he's on the inside. Because Acts chapter 2 says that there is going to be some initial evidence. The first way you're going to know that you got the Holy Ghost on the inside is he's going to speak in another heavenly language. And you need to let him speak. Let him pray through you because he's just going to empower you for your weaknesses. Everybody in here got some weaknesses. That's why you need the Holy Ghost to help you so you don't yield to those weaknesses. Oh, look at somebody and say, he'll give you power. And then when you come in settings like this and you hear the word, you'll get some more power. There was a text in scripture to where the disciples were just hearing the preached word and the Holy Spirit fell. And they were hearing the word and they were getting stronger. That's why I love to come to God's church, because there's strength in the sanctuary. I can be beaten up, I can be going through, but I can come to God's house and I can hear an anointed word, and right there in my seat, I can be getting stronger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My mind can be getting stronger. My will can be getting stronger. I can come in God's church and leave saying, I'm gonna make it. I'm going to be all right. This thing is going to work together for my good. God going to do exactly what I said, what he said. Any young people in here got some power? He said, you got to have some, help me, power. But then when you look at verses 5 through 14, Jesus begins to tell the disciples things they need to do, things they don't need to do, places they should go, places they should not go. What was he doing? He was giving them purpose. This is why I want you to go here. I don't want you to go there. Take this with you. Don't take that with you. When you go to certain cities and they don't receive you, do this. Don't do that. Look at somebody and say, he was giving them purpose. Young people, you need to be living with divine purpose. You need to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, this world, they will make you to be what they want you to be. We learned that from Daniel in the Hebrew boys. But they had purpose in their heart that they would not do what everybody else was doing. And see, when you have purpose, you are not intimidated by what other folk are doing. Because you know who you are. You've got purpose. See, if you feel so intimidated and left out when you get around folk practicing sin, that should be telling you you don't know who you are. See, you got to have God's purpose on the inside of you. So if other folk are doing something your God don't want you to do, you got the mindset, say, hey, that's your choice. But I know who I am. You got to have purpose. And as long as you are at a place of refuge, your purpose is to be productive in every aspect of your life. And so your mindset needs to be, if I do this, am I going to be productive? If I don't do this, is it going to keep me from being, help me, productive? And you don't get intimidated by other folks' purposes. Everybody got a what? A purpose. You just need to know yours and walk therein. So he gave them what? Power, and he gave them purpose. What should we have? We should have power, and we should have purpose. But then when you get to verse 16, which is our main text, young people and young adults, Jesus then begins to give his disciples perspective. He's teaching them or training them how they need to think. I'm going to give you the proper mindset that you need to have before I send you out, disciples, into the world. You got to have the right mindset, young people, before you go off to school. You got to have the right mindset in this life. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. My mind needs to be as the mind of Christ. He's telling them, imagine Jesus sitting around with the 12. This is the mindset y'all need to have. This is how I want you to think. And he gives them a lot in our verse of Matthew 10 and 16. Look how he starts it out. He says, look, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm sending you out here, but it's some adversaries. I'm sending you out here, but it's some folk that want to devour you. Want to get you off your purpose. Get you out the will of God. Yeah, I got to let you go. I got to send you out. But understand, it's some wolves out here. It's some wolves. But I love how he breaks it down and says that you're the sheep and they're the wolves. You're going to be hunted. It's going to be folk out here that want you. And they don't have your best interest in mind. And see, you got to have that mindset. I need to enjoy life. I need to be happy and so forth. But I got to be looking out for adversaries. I don't want folk to get over on me or take advantage of me. Just because somebody say they like you, that don't mean they really like you. Jesus told his disciples and others in another message, look, it's false prophets out here. And he described them as being sheep in wolves' clothing. So there are actually folk out here that will try to deceive you. Tell you can't have certain things when God said you can. Tell you can't be certain things when God said you are. The deception, young folk, is real. Tell you a boy when you really a girl. Tell you a girl when you really a boy. And then say, it's okay. I read a headline this weekend that the assistant director of the United States Health Department, Dr. Iving, He said it is going to be normal for children to change their gender. He said we're going to make sure that it's normal. It's okay for children, not grown folk, but young people to change their gender. He said we're going to get the wheels rolling. We're going to make this normal. That's the country we live in. That's a wolf. Are you listening to me? The disciples had to make sure they were prepared, so they weren't deceived or devoured by their adversary. And so Jesus then shifts and he says, look, I'm telling you, it's some wolves out here. And so it's important for you to be wise. Look at somebody say, you got to be wise. Yeah, you got to be wise. Everybody that's in your circle is not for you. You got to be wise. Everything you see on the internet and social media is not to edify you. You gotta be wise. It's got to be your mentality. Be wise. Tell yourself, self, I gotta be wise. When a person, or specifically this morning, a young adult or a young person is wise, number one, it says they got sense. You got sense. Not common sense, but you got sense. In the book of Nehemiah, after they built the wall, they had a service, and the Bible says that they opened the book of the law and gave the people sense. Made sure that God's people were not stupid, ignorant, or naive. You gotta have some sense. You gotta be able to think and calculate and make right choices. You gotta have some sense. You gotta be able to put two and two together, young folk. Gotta have some sense. You can't be that stupid and say stuff like, everybody going. Have some sense. Everybody ain't going. Bottom line, you just want to go. Everybody. Look at somebody say, everybody ain't going. Yeah. Is Michael B. Jordan going to be there? Mm-mm. Then everybody ain't going. Everybody ain't going. Have some sense. Number two, when you're wise, it says that you're smart. You're intelligent. You're clever. Now, you don't have to have straight A's to be intelligent. So come on and get back in the car. Because some folk think, if I ain't on the honor roll, I ain't intelligent. No, you can be book smart and still have no sense. I mean, make all A's. But don't realize, this boy just wants your draws. But he said he like, girl, you ain't got no sense. Y'all ever seen somebody like that? Book smart, but dingy. I'm sorry, am I offending y'all? No, just book smart. No, no, no. That don't mean you got sense or you're wise. The Bible says the disciples were unlearned, but folk could tell they had some sense. They've been with Jesus. And see, that's what we want. You got to be intelligent. You can't think because you're running with some guys that's from the street that they're not going to try you to be like them. Come on, have some sense. Sooner or later, you with us or not. You can't be talking about, well, I know he slept with all the rest, but he ain't gonna do me like that. Is you crazy? If he hit them other girls, guess what he gonna try with you? Guess what he gonna try with you? He gonna try because he has a reputation of sleeping with whoever he calls his girl. So what makes you think you that special? And you untouched? And you ain't got no experience? It's that fresh meat. What you think? You gotta be intelligent. Gotta be clever. Gotta be clever. Witty. Can't be no sucker. Y'all know Pastor Baker said, you don't want to be nobody's sucker, right? But finally, when you are wise, notice my personal definition. It says that you have the ability to solve problems according to the word. When you're wise, young people, you have the ability to solve your problems according to God's written and the revealed word. Yeah, you hear the teaching, but then you know how to apply it to your life. That says you're what? You're wise. You know how to apply knowledge and understanding. And all of this needs to take place when you're wise. Can I go further? Let's go to Proverbs 4. Y'all still with me? All right, Proverbs 4. See, this is so important. Your thinking, or as they say, your critical thinking skills are so important. You need to know how to think for yourself according to the will of God, right? Because there's some young folk, this is what they do. They go ask their friend, well, what you think I should do? What you think about my problem? It's your problem. When you're wise, you're able to solve the problem according to God's will. And you're going to have problems. Some of you got problems right now. But you have to use wisdom to solve that problem. Are you with me? All right, let's go to Proverbs 4 and 7. Proverbs 4 and 7. Because what you don't want to do is what I've done, is start trying a whole bunch of different things. You try this. Oh, that didn't work. Try this. That didn't work. Try it. You're just trying. You're unstable. But see, when you lack wisdom and you don't know what to do, all you got to do is ask God. And he's going to give you the ability to solve whatever problem it is. Right? All right. Proverbs 4 and 7. Be wise, he said. Proverbs 4 and 7. Look at this. Wisdom is the, I thought y'all were going to help me. Thought y'all were clever enough to pick it up when I put it down. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. What do we see? Wisdom is valuable. Having godly or good sense is valuable. Being able to solve your problems according to God's word is valuable. Being clever, intelligent, that is valuable. So you need to be trying to get wisdom. It's the principal thing. It's valuable. It's essential. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. And notice verse 10. Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of, help me, wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of? So the source of making good choices, being intelligent, is fearing who? Fearing the Lord. Lord, what should I do? How should I handle this situation? Fear the Lord, that's the source of what? Wisdom. Y'all don't see it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the source of wisdom. Lord, how do I get some more money? Lord, what do I need to do about these feelings I'm having? Me and her in disagreement, Lord, what do I need to do? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and what are you going to do? Direct your path. But how many times do we try to solve our problems without acknowledging the Lord? Be honest. We be wise in our own eyes. Look at somebody say, that's dangerous. Daniel 1 and 4. Daniel 1 and 4. It says, young men in whom there was no blemish. Look at these young men. But good looking. Gifted in all what? Wisdom. Possessing knowledge and quick to understand. Talking about Daniel and the other kids or young men from Judah. But what I want you to notice, they were gifted in all wisdom. Godly young people, you should be wise. I said, if you saved, you should be wise. You should have some sense. You should be intelligent. And you should know how to solve problems based upon God's word. Just like Daniel and his friends, we call the Hebrew boys. They had wisdom. Trendsetters shouldn't be known for being on that dumb stuff. Praise team members shouldn't be known for being on that dumb stuff. Musicians and the young men and young women of the MSW should be wise. Does that mean we're going to be flawless? No. Perfect? No. But we should have some sense. Am I right about it? And so Jesus tells them, be wise, but then he just flip it. Be wise as a serpent. Lord. Be wise as a snake. Be wise as a serpent. An animal that many of us would run over if we saw it trying to cross the street. Isn't that amazing? A dog run out, you're going to swerve. A squirrel run out, you'll hit your brake. But if it looked like a snake, let me just press this gas. And try to hit it. And then you look in your rearview mirror and just, I got him. I'm not going to lie. I haven't always appreciated snakes the way I should. No, I haven't. Because oftentimes we tend to glean off the negativity or the negative aspects of serpents. Am I right? But God made snakes. I said God made them. Look at Genesis. Y'all, come on. Y'all roll with me real quick. Y'all, come on. Now, this is the easiest book in the Bible to find. Y'all ought to have been like, I'm there, Pastor. And we go into chapter 1. Verse 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that help me moves, which with the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. Look at this. And God saw that it was what? Good. So he made every creature that moves. And then looked at it and said it was what? So that means God made the serpent and looked at it and said it was good. But I ain't gonna lie, again, I don't look, I said, ain't nothing good about that. Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its, help me, kind, cattle, and creeping thing, and beast of the earth according to its kind, and it was so. God made serpents or snakes. They were good, and it has purpose. Even if we don't want to see it or like to see it, he made it, he created it, he looked at it and said it was good. Then he told his disciples to be wise as a serpent. There's some qualities that that serpent has, disciples, that you need to have. Not all the qualities, but some. And we know a serpent is just a reptile or a snake that has no arms or legs but crawls on his belly. Now, don't you do that. We don't have to crawl on our belly, do we? We got feet. We got legs, right? Snakes or serpents are beneficial to the environment because they help control pests and rodents. There are certain snakes you want to have around your house. I got one amen all the way back over there. Because they're going to keep the mice away from your house. There are certain snakes you want to have because they eat other snakes. King snake, it'll eat other snakes. So they are beneficial to the environment. They keep the pests down. There's some folk that say the only good snake is a dead snake. But I want you to see that in what God created, young folk, there's something good. But then Jesus turned around and said, you need to be wise just like that snake or that serpent. I don't want you to be deceptive or cunning like we see the serpent deceiving Eve. But there are other qualities that you need to have, and it needs to be a part of your mindset. Are you with me? And so for the last few moments, I want to give you just a couple of traits that's going to help us to be wise as serpents. And it needs to be our mentality. Because this is Jesus talking to his disciples and likewise talking to us. The first trait that we need to have to be considered wise as a serpent, and these are not the only ones, there are no doubt others, but these are the two the Lord told me to teach. The first is that we need to have the ability or the mindset to readjust in life. Somebody say, readjust. Yeah. Snakes are cold-blooded reptiles. And they have the ability to regulate their body temperature. When we get hot, we go get a fan. We turn on the air conditioning. We roll down the window. But a snake can readjust on its own. They can regulate their own body temperature. When the temperature changes, snakes have the mindset to go find a source of heat. Snakes can discern, young people, when it's time to reposition themselves or to readjust. The temperature's not right here. If I stay here, I'm gonna die. Let me reposition myself and go over here. Let me move. Because if I stay here, I'm going to die. You got to be able to discern when it's time for you to move. You got to be able to discern as a young man or a young woman, this relationship ain't good for me. The temperature here is going to kill me. It's a toxic relationship. It's time for me to readjust. I got to go. You got to be able to look at your life and say, man, I ain't been praying the way I need to pray. I ain't been calling them. I ain't been letting the Holy Spirit overtake me and pray through me. I need to readjust. I need to put this phone down. I need to get off the internet, and I need to go into my closet, and I need to spend some quality time with God, because if I don't pray, I'm going to faint. You got to know how to readjust in life. You just can't keep going along with something that's not productive or something that's not working. You can't try to change a person. You can't try to change a situation. You got to change yourself. Proverbs 8:16-21 in part says the wise in heart will be called prudent, smart, intelligent, wise folk. They act with knowledge. If you know something is no good for you, why are you still hanging around it? If you know your attitude is jacked up, why do you keep having the same attitude? It ain't nobody else. It's you. Readjust. Move. Reposition yourself. Do just like that, sir. Be wise. Be wise. Quit blaming somebody else and look at yourself. Readjust. There are some places a serpent needs to get to, and it can expand its lungs and flatten its body just so it can get through a certain hole so it can get to where it needs to go. And I'm telling you, young folk, in life, you got to be flexible. You got to know how to change. You don't want to get old and stuck in your way. You've been given that same dollar since you came to the MSW back in Sunday school days. When you gonna readjust? When you gonna leave the dollar realm and step up your giving? When you gonna readjust and quit complaining about everything? Why are you the one in the family that always complains? You're the one that complains. It's always something wrong with you. Why? Your parents be like, all you do is complain. No, I don't. And then you start another argument. When are you going to change? When are you going to stop being a slacker and wait until the last minute to do stuff? When are you going to change or readjust? That's what a serpent does. It readjusts its body. It's flexible. And again, it can discern when it needs to change. I got to change. Because if I don't, this temperature is going to kill me. I got to find some sunlight. But the one trait I really want to deal with besides readjusting that we need to do that would make us wise as a serpent that needs to be a part of our mentality is you got to have restraint. Ooh, look at somebody say, you got to readjust. Yeah, I'm telling you, you've been single and then you get married, you got to readjust. But then secondly, a serpent has restraint. Oh, this finna get somebody mad. I said, a serpent has helped me restraint. Disciples, before y'all go out here to do ministry work, you got to have some self-control. You got to have some power over your own body. Some restraint. Self-control. You know one of the fruits of the Spirit, young people, is self-control. But you know what some young folk that got the Holy Ghost lack? Self-control. Now, I want us to look at restraint in this aspect, especially when you talk about a serpent or a snake. Snakes are very, very discreet. Very discreet. You could be standing right by a snake and wouldn't even know it. See, a serpent or a snake, one of their characteristics is they are excellent at remaining quiet. They know how to just be silent. They can see some food, a little mouse, but they'll just be quiet and just watch the mouse. And just let the mouse get closer and closer until they can strike and have some supper for the night. I was cutting somebody else's yard, and they had a lot of leaves in the yard, a lot of leaves, a lot of brush. A lot of rocks. And my mindset was, Lord, please don't let be no snakes out here. I left my snake boots at home. And so I'm out cutting the grass with my push mower. Yeah, I got some snake boots. They come way up here. I mean, I be looking country. I don't care. It's snakes out here. Laugh at me if you want. Man, I was out there cutting this yard, and it was some rocks. And I said, man, if I get too much closer in the middle of this yard, I'm going to tear up my lawnmower. What I didn't know is that it was a snake bed in there. Yeah, a snake was living in there. And the snake didn't bark. It didn't give me no meow or no chirp. It didn't do none of that. But sure enough, I moved my lawnmower back. And right on top of the leaves, guess what went by? A snake. Now, part of me was like, take that lawnmower and just cut them up. But I said, no, Lord, you teach me based on this lesson you done gave me. I said, this is a good snake. This is a good snake. I looked at it, wasn't nothing but a little garter snake. That's a good snake. And so I just sat back and I just tried to, I was going to pick them up, but I said, nah, I ain't going to do that. But I just kind of, yeah. Gone over there. And sure enough, guess what he did? He went on over that way. Didn't make no fuss. Was just real discreet. Kept to himself. He knew it was danger over here. And so he went on over there. Didn't try to rile up and bite me. But he just real discreet. You know, there's some of us, we got to learn how to be wise like that snake. You got to learn how to just keep your mouth shut. You got to know it's just going to be certain times you don't need to say nothing. You got to be able to discern they want to argue. Y'all can't tell when folk want to argue. And you just got to learn how to just, you ain't got nothing to say. Now, if it's an adult, be respectful. No, ma'am. Because there's some folk, they love to argue. Woo, they love to argue. fuss, fight. But you got to learn how to be just like that serpent. Just be wise. Just hold your peace. I ain't going to say nothing. I told her I wanted a large fry. And she done gave me a small fry. I told her at the intercom and at the window. And she trying to start an argument. Is there anything else you need? Yeah, I want, no, but you got to be like that servant. Them folk got your food. You don't know what they doing. Got to be wise as a serpent. You got to know when to keep quiet on the job, and you got to know when to talk. Listen, young folk, when you get a job, you got to learn how not to put all of your personal business on the job. You don't give folk a knife that they can use at a later time to come and poke you with. So you don't go to your job, young folk, talking about how you got bills, talking about how somebody's going through in your family. You keep your personal business to yourself. I'll never forget when I was trying to teach my sons, look, what we do at this house, we keep at the house. Okay. Now, if something is bad going on, you need to tell somebody. But I'll never forget this. I never, ever forget this. And so you don't mind if I use your sign. So Michael did something. He did something. This was in his middle school days. He did something. And he got in trouble. And I gave him a whoop. Okay? I gave him a whoop. And so what I normally do is occasionally I would set up appointments with their teachers and just go check up on the students. You know, when your parents come and just sit in class and see how you doing. So Michael had recently just got a spanking because he did wrong. So he done went to school and told the teacher that I done beat him. So when I get to the school, all the teachers looking at me like I'm abusive. And I walk through the door and Michael just started crying when I walk through the door. I'm like, oh God, these folks finna call. They finna call the folks and try to come and take my kids. And so sure enough, we have our parent-teacher meeting, and Michael just sitting in the meeting, just trembling. You know, because he was, you know, could be a little emotional. He's just trembling, and just he started crying. I'm like, boy, if you don't stop these folk, go call Child Protective Services on us. And so the teachers got to talking, and we went back and forth. I said, no, no, it's not like what y'all may think, and so forth. I said, isn't that right, Michael? But the lesson I was trying to teach him, I was like, boy, you know I ain't done nothing wrong to you. What we do at the house, it need to stay at the house. Got to learn how to be wise as a serpent. It's funny now, but at the time, I was feeling the pressure. But young people, don't be to the point to where you tell everybody your business. Don't put all your business on the internet. Don't share all your business, especially with people you work with. You don't do that. Look at somebody say, don't do that. Yeah. Folks you go to school with, you can be friends the first semester. And then the second semester, y'all not friends. But you done gave them a whole 3 months worth of your business. You don't do that. Be discreet, just like that serpent. Be wise. Keep your business and your moves to yourself. That's got to be your mentality. Remember in scripture about Joseph when he got the sharing the vision that God gave him, even to his own brothers. They were ready to kill him. He should have just kept it to himself. And there's certain things you need to keep to yourself and to those in your life that are mature and confidential. How many are understanding? You got to be wise as a serpent, young people. That's got to be your mindset. That's got to be your mindset. You don't tell everybody your financial business. If your parents come into some money, you don't go and tell everybody about it. You keep your business discreet. Y'all hear me? When you mess up and make mistakes, don't tell everybody your business. Girl, I messed up and did such and such. Keep that to yourself. You got to be discreet. Just because somebody is your friend, that don't mean they need to know. All right, let's close it. Let's go to Proverbs 10. Let me back it up what I've been saying with a couple of verses. Proverbs 10. Y'all learning? All right. Now, let me say this as you go to Proverbs 10. If God sends me or someone to you that cares for you, loves you, and you got certain issues going on in your life and we're trying to help you, you don't just keep saying nothing wrong. No, you got to discern when somebody's trying to help you. If something going on in your life that's harmful, you have to be wise in who to share it with. Right? All right. Let's go to Proverbs 10 and 19. We're closing with these two verses. In the multitude of words, sin is not what? Lacking. Let's try that again. In the multitude of words, sin is not. Yeah, whenever you got somebody that's talking a lot, it's a lie in there somewhere. But look at this. But he who restrains his lips is what? Wise. Restrain. Just like that serpent. Keep quiet. Learn how to keep your business to yourself. Proverbs 29 and 11. This one hit. Just a little bit different. A fool vents all his feelings. I better read that again. A fool, help me, vent all his or her feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Just like that serpent. Know when you need to keep quiet and know when you need to speak on something. But learn to be discreet, young people. As you grow, and even when you get into adulthood, because there's some grown folk, they can't hold water. They just like to. And now my grown folk audience done got mad at me, but it's just the truth, right? How many understand how we can have a serpent mentality? I'm gonna stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson.